afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host today, Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Friday, November 18th, 2022. How do you do, Butch?
Hi, Miss Melody. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's cold down here in the hills of West Virginia.
It's cold here, too, on the eastern shore of Maryland.
See, I thought we lived beside the ocean and stayed 80 degrees all year round. I guess
not.
Oh,
I only wish.
Well, you know, I know it's freezing clear down in Alabama and all through there, Mississippi. They're having, you know, like in the 30s and even in Florida. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's that cold snap's hitting way down. And poor old Buffalo, up in Buffalo area, up to 6 foot of snow. My goodness, that's a lot of snow.
Mm-hmm. I know. Can you imagine 6 feet?
No. I don't want to think about that. I mean, what most we ever had at one time here is probably 3 foot, and that was enough to shut things down for a while, because it comes down, you know, 2 or 3 inches an hour. It adds up pretty quick.
Yes.
But I'll stay down here where it's cold and no snow. I'll just stay here.
Same here.
Now that we discussed it, the weather, you can go, I guess you can go ahead and do your job now.
You gonna make me work?
I reckon I better have you do something.
Yeah, well, you know, everything in the last hour of trade, everything turned around on the day. And pressure on gold today, but still $1,750 down 11. Silver was $20.98 down just a little bit. And we had platinum down $6 at $984. Palladium was down 3.75% at 2024. The USDX today was stronger by 0.23, so it's still holding out at that 106.92. Crude oil was down almost a buck and a half at $80.18. Paper markets today, as I said, the last minute of trade. The Dow was up 200 points at 33,745. S&P was up 18, 3,965. And the NASDAQ was up 1.11.
1 whole point, wow.
One. And 11,146. So maybe if these final numbers trickle through it, maybe it'll end to the downside or, you know, whatever. But so that's pretty much it in the markets today. There's still losses in the S&P, even though it closed higher today. You know, everybody, you know, is always watching for more clues with the Fed hikes. It's like, come on, you can't figure this out. And so there is, but, you know, not a lot of items going on. There was one. I hope I saved it, and I don't think I did. Well, I might have to look for it. I'll have to look for it. Just to see where I saw this article that I wanted to share. Silver. Here we go. Silver. This is from Reuters. Global demand for silver is expected to rise 16% this year to $1.21 billion or ounces, creating the biggest deficit in decades.
Wow.
Now, this came out to the Silver Institute last night. Use of silver by industry for jewelry, silverware, for bars, coins, for retail investors were all forecast to reach record levels. Of course, we know automakers are using a little bit more silver for electronics. But that sector really only accounts for about 5% of total demand, where you have solar panels, that's a little bit more. That's like 10%. Demand in India, that has almost doubled in 2022 as buyers took advantage of the lower price to replenish stockpiles that were drawn down in the past 2 years, 2020 and 2021. ETFs, the exchange-traded funds storing silver for investors, shrank. However, returning metal to the market, but the Silver Institute does not count ETFs as physical demand because they only store wholesale silver bars and do not rework them. The Silver Institute predicted a deficit of 194 million ounces this year, up from 48 million ounces in 2021. But they're saying also demand might fall next year. India's restocking is likely to trip over into 2023, but, you know, sometime that'll stop. But you still might see some decent figures in 2023, but you know, they might not match this year. And so there's no reason why we shouldn't see silver prices go below much more than what they already are. We saw silver fall about 10% this year, maybe a little more. So I thought that was some pretty good news for your silver, for those silver investors out there, and of course for us.
Of course.
So another good idea to stock up, and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188, Butch.
Okay. Woo-hoo. And what is a Morgan dollar going now? 1920s, you know, 1800s.
Just a circulated one. You're still, you know, picking it up, you know, at $40.
Okay. So they're still holding a premium pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. You know, I like silver. I can't afford much gold, but I like silver. I always have. Of course, I grew up with silver coins in my pocket. I did. I remember when silver was a common circulated piece of money. You really had money in your pocket. I actually had, even the paper was backed by something with value, a silver dollar. But boy, things have changed since then. I mean, you could buy 12 hot dogs for $1, Melody. Can you imagine that today?
Oh, yes, really.
I mean, it's amazing. So, folks, silver is a good investment. I'm serious. And I realize gold it's better to preserve wealth than gold. But for trade and barter and sale, for quick exchanges, silver is the way to go. And it's just like gold. It's always a value because it's a rare commodity. It takes work to mine it and make it and, you know, coin it. So you need to call Melody up and see what you can get. And if you can't afford gold, get a bit of silver. It never hurts, does it, Melody?
No, it absolutely does not. So
this isn't an economic story necessarily, but I thought I'd share it first, Dave. World leaders agreed to implement. Now, folks, we knew this had come. Talked about it for the last 2 years. World leaders agreed to implement vaccine passports. That should make your day today. The current membership of G20 includes Argentina, Austria, Brazil, Canada, China, France, Germany, Japan, India, Indonesia, Italy, Mexico, Russia, South Africa, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, Turkey, United Kingdom, United States, and European Union. About 60% or so, 66% of the world's population, they've agreed that you're going to implement a vaccine passport. It says it also includes the leaders' support, continued international dialogue, and collaboration on the establishment of a trusted global digital health networks that could capitalize and build on the success of the existing standard and the digital COVID-19 certificates. So we knew it's coming, Melody. That's just another step in the direction of a worldwide police state. We talked about this passport, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the G20 said they're going to implement it. So when? I don't know.
Well, I think I saw the same thing. I thought they were looking for another pandemic to do it, you know, to, you know, of course, use the fear and, you know, to offer the, you know, where there's a crisis that they'll have an answer to do it. So I think as things have calmed down, don't know, but already I'm beginning to read other things about how, you know, there's another COVID coming through to where it's, you know, blah, 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 blah. So that's, you know, what they'll need, and that's what they'll do. And they already, you know, and that's, you know, they learned a lot.
Oh, yes.
From 2020. And
Absolutely.
They found their mistakes. They found their what works. They found what doesn't work. And that's how, you know, as far as I was concerned, it was a test. And
yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
It was a test to see how fast things could spread, how fast the contagion was, what happened in various situations and also in various places around the world.
So, I like to think that people around the world as a whole won't tolerate this again. I would like to think that. I really would. you know, that's just something I like to think. It probably won't be that way, but I think it would be.
Well, what planet are you living on, Butch?
I know, I know. I keep hoping and hoping and hoping. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you're not going to believe this next one. You probably don't read it, but it's just this story is so outlandish. It's almost funny. Schumer calls, folks, this is unbelievable. Schumer calls for amnesty for 30-plus million illegal aliens living in the U.S. because, Mel, you probably know why, don't you? We have a population that is not reproducing on its own.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Bring in the illegals. Bring in all the criminals you want. We're not reproducing fast enough, so bring in the bad guys. I'm not saying they're all bad guys, but they're all illegals. That's the point. It's illegal. It's illegal. It's illegal. What part of illegal don't we understand, people? Emboldened by another stolen election, Schumer came out swinging and called for blanket amnesty for millions of illegal aliens. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on Wednesday called for blanket amnesty for millions of illegal aliens living in the United States. Schumer cited the work shortage for his reason to push for amnesty for millions of illegals. Of course, everyone knows this is political. The Democrats will use the millions of illegals, aliens, permanently entrench their party. Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing on its own with the same level that it's used to. I can make a comment here, Mildy. Over the last 50 years, we killed someone in the neighborhood that we know of, about 75 million children in the womb. Do you think that's why we're not holding population?
Well, you know, you have countries. Sorry, something's wrong with my mic. You have countries all over the world that have issues with population. Look at Japan.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you have to continue to repopulate.
Yes, you do.
You know, and when you stop, you look at the problems that they're having. And in various places, and we're already having it.
We are having it. But we slaughtered 75 million babies. That was a big cutback on population, wasn't it?
Yes.
It really was. So anyway, it says, so we're not reproducing on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, illegal aliens. The dreamers and all of them, Schumer said. He added, because the ultimate goal was to help the dreamers get a path to citizenship for all living men, or however many undocumented there are out there. In other words, however many illegals are out there, we will bring them all in. Now, there's already at least, now this, Mel, folks, this is unthinkable. Almost 10% of the country is illegal. I mean, here it is. There are at least 30 to 40 million illegals in total currently living in the U.S. About 330 million people in the United States, and 10% of them are illegals. How about them apples, Melody? Doesn't it make you feel good?
Yeah.
And a lot of them living off us, you know that.
You know, what's interesting, my question is, are there just not anyone who wants to come to the United States anymore legally?
Well, I guess why should they? If they come across illegally, they get welfare.
Hmm?
I don't know. Melody, I'm laughing. It's not funny. It isn't funny. But to back that up, Biden takes air marshals off flights, deploys them to conduct welfare checks on illegal aliens. President Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security is taking federal air marshals off domestic commercial flights to have them conduct welfare checks on border crossers and illegal aliens. In July, Breitbart News exclusively reported that Biden's DHS has deployed air marshals to the southern border to escort border crossers and illegal aliens from processing facilities to the Border Patrol custody before their release into American communities. Now, folks, let that sink in. We covered that months ago, but let that sink in again. Van Drew, during a House Homeland Security Committee hearing, said Biden's DHS is still taking air marshals off flights to have them transport border crossers and illegal aliens, provide welfare checks on illegal aliens, and in some cases, do janitorial work. In an attempt to combat the crisis on the border, you have deployed highly trained and highly skilled federal air marshals to perform non-law enforcement duties, such as a hospital watch, transportation, and welfare checks. There have been reports that air marshals are performing janitorial duties, Bandrew said. DHS is removing hundreds of air marshals from skies during one of the busiest travel seasons of the year. Even though you state that America's aviation infrastructure is a very high threat and is a target. what do you add to that? I mean, we're taking off well-paid air marshals to not only transport legals and provide and do hospital watch, whatever, but also do janitorial work. Now, guess who's footing the bill for that?
Yep.
You know, and we sit, and the nation as a whole just sits back and ho-hum, you know, another day, pass me a beer or whatever. That means like they just don't really care about these things. But all this is done on purpose to undermine our nation, and it's working, Melody. It's very well working. Now, people will love this one. San Francisco. I'll never forget when I went through there back in 1969, it was, maybe 70. I was on my way to Vietnam, and I stopped there in San Francisco for a few days. Left a layover there. It was a beautiful town. It really was. I even walked across the Golden Gate Bridge. But anyway, San Francisco unveils the free money GIFT handouts for transgender residents. That's a qualification, folks. You got to be transgender, in other words, a sexual deviant. San Francisco has launched a new pilot program offering guaranteed monthly income to a number of low-income transgender residents of the city, Mayor London Breed announced on Wednesday. Known as a guaranteed income for transgender people, I'm laughing. This ain't funny. Oh, known as a guaranteed income for transgender people gift program. The new plan will provide economically marginalized transgender people with unrestricted monthly guaranteed income as a way to combat poverty our most impacted community members face. Specifically, the website states that the monthly guaranteed income, this is about them, this is what you're going to get per month for 18 months, $1,200 a month. Some people don't draw that much in Social Security. And they're giving it to transgender people. Don't that make you feel just so proud? These residents will receive the funds via a preloaded debit Visa card, which will be reloaded every month. The program is being run by the Transgender District, which is founded by three black transgender women at Lyon Martin Community Health Services in partnership with municipal city departments in the city and the county of San Francisco. Oh, my goodness gracious. Will anyone pay attention? The gift program. Oh, Melody. Okay. We're down the last few seconds before the break. You want to say anything to that?
No, I mean, it's just, there's these programs that are just easing them, you know, gradually into various areas for various people for, you know, and it's just, I want to know why the people in those local, I don't care who it's for. I can't believe that these citizens of those areas aren't coming unglued.
I know, they're saying anything for me, so anyway.
Hey, we'll be back. We are in that first break. Stay tuned. You're listening. Financial Survival. Working for a living. Working for a living. Working for a living. Living and working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground in the sky.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter and the blog. So I'm kind of winding down the even though it's kind of in the middle of the month with Thanksgiving coming next week, we're kind of winding down. We'll be closed for the 4 days, Thursday, Friday. You know, I'm always here checking calls and messages and so forth. So, you know, I will. So if you're looking to make a buy, make sure you give us a call. And I'm not going to be do that on Thursday, on Thanksgiving. I'm going to be having my cranberry sauce. So absolutely. So so there, 1-800-375-4188.
All righty. And I already told you, of course, I'll tell everybody, too, I might be here live on Wednesday and Friday myself. I'm not real sure. Monday I will not be here. But Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving, and that's my special day of the year. I really enjoy it. Look forward to that. I really do. So,
well, you know what? Since the first segment of the program was with really odd stories, sort of, kind of. To some degree, I know you wanted to talk about this one where we're going to block the sun to stop climate change.
Yeah.
I mean,
Who
are these people?
And they've already actually started saying that when the aluminum and barium in the air does block the sun. They started that many years ago, but now they intentionally want to do it.
Well, not for any that might be true, but not for any extended period of time.
No, they've been doing
this. They want to do this, for a year?
Yes, exactly. Intentionally, for sure.
And look who's sponsoring it.
I didn't get that far into who is sponsoring it.
I believe Coca-Cola.
Oh, yes, Coca-Cola. You're right. Yes. Yes.
You know, and I mean, these people are the biggest plastic polluters around. There. If you would like to do that.
Well, I'll hit that. I mean, it's just, this is the insanity in this world. The insanity that, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 28, the Lord God said, I'll smite them with madness. That means insanity. Melody, would you say that we're pretty much insane in some areas in this country, or in the world, actually?
I know.
I mean, really, we're going to block the sun. Okay. Then shoot the moon out of the air while we're at it, too. But anyway, the White House admits it. We might need to block the sun to stop climate change. We're ending the final days of COP27, the UN's annual climate summit, and it's safe to say that this year's edition was disappointing, to say the least. It was widely panned by climate experts and activists and drew intense criticism for being sponsored by the likes of Coca-Cola, the world's leading plastic polluter. Moreover, so many climate summits in the past, little action has actually been taking place in terms of concrete climate action and policy. In fact, the argument could be made that the biggest decisions to fight the climate change weren't decided at COP27, but rather G20 summit between the U.S. and China. Similarly, the U.S. government also signaled last month that's looking into one of the most controversial and consequential climate change fighting tactics yet. You know, I mean, what harm could do, Melly, to block the sun? What needs sunshine?
Oh, my gosh, they're just idiots. And you know what? And guess what? Our government is the one who's funding this five-year research plan.
No, we are.
Yes.
You and I are.
You, me, listeners, you. Yes. We are.
On October 13th, the White House announced that it was funding a five-year research plan into one of the most controversial proposals for fighting climate change out there. Geoengineering, with the technologies and innovations that can be used to artificially modify the Earth's climate. I want to make this comment, this statement, if you don't mind, Bill D. Tomorrow, I have Bible study at a fellowship. And people want to watch it, then go to PastorButch.com and click on live stream. PastorButch.com and click on live stream. At 1 o'clock, I have a guest speaker, which will just be calling him by phone. He won't be in person. But we'll be discussing this issue of geoengineering. His name is Dane Wigginton, one of the world's leading experts on what's going on here. And he'll tell you things that'll just shake your tree. But he said the report will be dedicated specifically to a form of geoengineering known as solar radiation management. This is a technique that essentially involves spraying fine aerosols into the atmosphere to reflect sunlight away from the Earth. The idea is that once it's reflected, there'll be less heat and temperatures will go down. Stupid! Oh, my God, stupid! Nothing needs sunlight. People don't even need sunlight. We don't need vitamin D from the sun. We don't need this stuff. I mean, come on. And it won't come down on carbon dioxide. I mean, why do plants breathe?
What
breathe oxygen, and what produces oxygen? I think it's green plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they breathe what we exhale. So wouldn't you think there'd be a healthier atmosphere if we breathe more and they breathe more? I don't know. Maybe, mm-hmm. I'm just stupid, Melody. I'm just on hillbilly. What do I know?
I know. I mean, you know, there's talk that it would drop temperatures, that would dip so low, you'd have crop. You talk about storms now. If you start messing with the atmosphere, I mean, you know, there's even some that, you know, what it would do to how to help spread diseases.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me?
Well, most folks have probably heard the HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, Aurora Antenna experiment in Alaska. I mean, they've been messing with things for years, and I'm convinced that's why the weather's been so extreme already. So we're going to block the sun to make it better. Oh, my. Oh, my.
And it's just... I mean, anyway, I get speechless because it's just
I know.
Like,
I mean, you don't... I mean, how do you answer that kind of stupidity? I mean, how do you answer that kind of stupidity? It's like somebody going to jump off my house roof to make sure gravity works. How do you answer that stupidity? Go, hey, go ahead. You know, figure it out. Anyway.
And you know what? And the thing of it is, you know, even if there was a true climate change, the only thing that's going to fix it would be, you know, who? I mean, if this planet has already been destroyed, either the Earth is going to fix itself.
It has many times.
Yes.
It has many times. I mean, you got to sit down by an old home site where somebody cleared land for who knows how many years, clearing land and building a home, and go back in 50 years, see what you see there.
Yeah.
The Earth will take care of itself, or let it be.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, it's just like, and the thing of it is, they're going to do all this, but they never do what needs to be done to truly fix the problem, if there was a problem.
No, they don't.
No.
No, they don't. Well, I do remember back in the 60s. I remember that they were talking about another ice age. That's true. Now, they really were.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
They were talking about another ice age.
Well, I was told about that, yeah.
Yeah, and now they're worried about burning the place up. I don't know. Back to a different topic, but this is a sad situation because it shows the moral decay of a country. Target releases shocking figure for estimate of looting losses. Target, the massive American retail chain, said on Wednesday that the massive wave of crime is causing devastating losses for the company. The retail giant said they are getting looted at an alarming rate. It has hurt the bottom line by an estimated $400 million so far this year, Melody. Think about that.
Wow.
Think about that. I mean, this, folks, this is a sign of a decaying society. Target is not alone in the issue. CVS has suffered a 300% increase in loss by theft. Rite Aid has suffered a loss of $5 million in losses due to the theft in their New York City stores alone. Over $5 million. Home Depot has opted to lock more products up to battle theft. There's a handful of things that can drive drive shrink in our business, and theft is certainly a key factor, or key driver, said Target CFO Michael Feldick. We know we're not alone across retail in seeing a trend of, that I think has gotten increasingly worse over the last 12 to 18 months, so we're taking the right actions in our stores to help curb that trend where we can, but that becomes an increasing headwind on our business, and we know the business of others. I mean, they have to build in lock cages to lock products up. You got to hire security guards. That costs money. That costs the price of goods up. Thieves rob us also, folks. They're not just robbing the store. They're robbing us. For everything they lose, they got to make up the difference. They can't eat. I mean, Target can't eat $400 million loss a year without making up somewhere. They can't do that. They're going to raise their prices. So they're stealing from you. It's your duty, if you're in the store to see somebody stealing something, to tell somebody that there's somebody stealing in the store. Not that they're probably doing good, but you should tell somebody anyway. Because they're stealing from you. Melody, I wonder if people can understand that. They're not stealing from they're stealing from the store, that's true. But the store's going to make profit. So who's going to pay for that?
Absolutely. Well, you know who. Goes right on down the line.
Yes, it does. And that's just something that, I don't know, I guess, it just breaks my heart. I know people have stolen ever since time began, I realize that. But it's gotten much, much worse in the last 10, 15 years, much worse. I remember as a grocery store as a little boy, the only thing I ever did was take a grape off a pot of grapes sitting on the counter. I remember doing that. If Dad would have caught me, he'd probably smack me then, but stealing was something, it didn't really cross my mind. I'm sure people did it, I'm sure boys and girls both did it, but it always bothered my conscience. I couldn't do that. Maybe I shouldn't have a conscience. See, there you go. I should have been a politician and lost my conscience.
But there you go.
We'll move on now. This is a story. This is one story out of five. I can't share them all, but this is what's happening in our country. And this is in New York State alone, folks. Fed up U.S. farmers will tell why government will put them out of business. Within the next few months, the United States is projected to import more agricultural products than it exports for the first time in history. Let that sink in a little bit.
I think we've been importing stuff
more so
than what we exported for a long time.
But at least you're finally admitting it.
Yeah,
I remember growing
exactly.
We had one teacher for the third, fourth, and fifth. Grade. Now, fifth, sixth, and seventh grade, we had one teacher in all those classes. And I remember her telling us, we feed the world, the United States.
Yeah.
Something changed, folks. But anyway.
Now the world feeds us.
Oh, yeah.
How
they're
sad
making
is
medicine.
That?
They're making the medicine China is, so that's why that people die in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. So, for the first time in history, a worrisome development for America's family farmers, who say government meddling threatens their livelihoods and the nation's food security. The United States has never had any trouble feeding itself, and much more the world, too, said upstate New York farmer Tim Stanton. I guess the politicians just figure we'll keep going no matter what they do to us. But, you know, there's a limit. Farmers all over New York and New Jersey say that they are being pushed to those limits by the president, Biden's attack on energy, Governor Hochul's labor betrayal, foreign competition, and other woes. Here, five of them describe the challenges. Cassie says New York area supermarket, let's see. Okay, they was talking about that they could buy local produce, but they found out in New York, and Cassie said New York State's supermarkets are importing stuff as far as 500 miles away and call it local, and they get by with it. The local farmers are not being able to sell their crops there. They buy cheaper somewhere else and say it's local, Melody. That in itself is deception, is it not?
It is, yes.
But George Cassidy's family has grown produce at Cassidy Farms in Monroeville, New Jersey, since they arrived from Ireland in 1895. And he's about to throw it in the towel because of federal laws, inflation, and fake virtue signaling. I am committed to being a farmer. I love to farm, he said. But I'm at the point where I can't grow vegetables anymore. Despite the Garden State's Jersey Fresh branding campaign, Cash said New York area supermarket chains used deceptive marketing practices to fool consumers while undercutting local farmers. That's just what I said about the 500-mile way, and they say it's all local. It's not local at all. Cassie said that rising costs and plummeting prices for the sweet potatoes he grows in New Jersey are making it impossible to continue. Next year, I can't plant them, he said. Tamara Beckwith told New York Post. Store chains, he said, bring in sweet potatoes from Georgia, where under federal law, seasonal farm workers make $11.99 per hour, compared to $15.54 hourly wage mandated in New Jersey. For New Jersey's farmers, that pay rate went up $1.50 last year and went up $1 the year before that, Cassie said. With labor, fuel, and fertilizer, my input costs have probably gone up 50%. Meanwhile, buyers, equally squeezed by inflation, are offering farmers less and less. One area chain store paid me $17 a box from a sweet potatoes 3 years ago, recalled. Last year, they gave me $15. And this year, they told me they'd be paying $13. He's going backward, isn't he?
Certainly is.
Next year, I can't plant them, he said. I cannot compete with a farmer in Georgia. Yet supermarkets keep tithing the local produce. He said, bull, said Cassie. He's 55. He said, it's going to come to the point where there'll be no local growers left and all produce will be imported. Well, obviously that's true. Because it's happening already. We're putting important more than raised now already. So the gentleman is actually selling for less than he did 3 years ago. And he can't make it on that. I mean, he can't. Prices certainly have went up a lot the last 3 years. He can't make it on that. After the break, we're going to tell you who the feds are blaming, or at least partly blaming inflation on. You're not going to believe this, folks. I mean, really, almost compare the two stories. The Fed blamed on somebody that you wouldn't think you'd blame it on for inflation. But that's nothing new. It's never their fault. It's never their fault. And, Melody, would anyone we ever learn that government is a leech? Government is a leech.
So are the multinational corporations.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, government produces nothing. And that if you let them, they'll grow and grow and grow like a leech on a body till it bleeds the body dry.
Yep.
Well, look what they've done to our country. We tolerated that tax, this tax, the other tax, a little bit here, a little bit there. And now they're taking well over 50% of what we make every year, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
So, and now we wonder why people are hurting for money and why they can't pay the bills. Well, I think getting close to another break here already.
Yes, we are. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul bringing you our opinions. So there we go, Butch. What's your next opinion?
Well, I'm reading articles. These aren't my opinions. That's what the articles are saying. I'm just giving up saying what they're saying. Now, I just read to you about the federal wages in New York. The mandated wages in New Jersey and New York can't compete with Georgia. Well, there's what the Fed says. Now, folks, pay attention. The Fed tells employers to stop giving pay raises in order to bring inflation down. Warns wages are rising faster than they have in decades. I wonder why. And there are now almost two jobs for every person looking for work. Now, Mel, I got to ask, before we move on, I got to ask a question.
What?
The Fed and the states make a minimum wage law.
They do.
And they're telling the employers they should quit raise the pay. They make him raise the pay.
They did.
So I wonder why it doesn't work when they do it and the employers do it to cause inflation. When the Fed or state makes them do it, it doesn't cause inflation.
Well, the government never does anything wrong.
I reckon. I mean, I read that. Again, you won't laugh
that
at
this.
It's so ludicrous. I mean, don't you give me money. We'll tell you when you have to pay him more. Employers should stop giving pay raises to their staff. And remember, the Federal Reserve Board said he in a bid to help bring down inflation. Christopher Waller, one of the six members of the Fed's board, used a speech in Phoenix, Arizona, to urge bosses take into account inflation when looking at their labor force. He pointed out that there are now almost two jobs for every person looking for work, and that wages were rising faster than they were in decades, making the target of 2% inflation even tougher to reach. Wage growth has been a contributing factor to inflation. Well, you dumb jerk, you guys will raise it. But anyway, especially in the service sector, so it is important to get the labor market into better balance to bring future wage growth down to a more sustainable level that will assist in moving overall inflation lower, said Waller. So you make him raise the rates, then you want him to lower the rate. I mean, you want to lower the raises. I mean, make up your mind, partner. You know, this isn't making any sense here, but okay, with all the layoffs happening now, Melly, with all the layoffs happening with the even FTX scandal is going to hurt a lot of people. You know that. A lot of people were owed money. You know that too. Millions of people.
They're looking at a million creditors.
At least. So that's going to hurt jobs also. So now they want the lower wages. Don't worry about it, Mr. Waller. People soon be out of work. Then they shook them down. Of all the stupid statements, these guys get paid for talking that dumb, don't they?
They do, and they get paid lots.
Oh, Melody, I shouldn't get fired up like that, but I can't help it. It's just so absurd, so insane that it doesn't make sense. But I just wonder how many people read those articles and just pass it over their head. You know, that the Fed and the states are what got their wages where they are now. Not true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, back when I first got married, I was tickled to see minimum wage go up. I thought it was a good deal for minimum wage to go up. The minimum wage I got was $2 an hour when I first got married. That was minimum wage in 1971 in the area. $2 an hour is minimum wage. What is minimum wage now? Federal minimum wage.
15.
So I made $2 an hour. We survived on that. It's probably well better than getting on 15 today. But then years later, it took a long time to figure this out. Matter of fact, I don't know if I ever did until I started talking to Bob Chapman and folks like you, that the force in the company to raise wages caused inflation. So when you look at it that way, and besides that, why would the government have any authority on telling a private business how much they have to pay their people? Is that a fair statement, a fair question?
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, who gave them authority? Who said they? Who told me? Who said? Who? How did I make them my God, so to speak? Tell me, why I got to pay somebody to work for me? If they're happy working for me and they're happy the wage I'm paying them, what business is of theirs? And if they're not happy, they can go somewhere else. And the next article covers that. You remember what Musk told the Twitter employees? They're going to have to really knuckle down and work hard. Guess what? Some of them are quitting. Their choice. I mean, go for it. Twitter workers said to resign by the hundreds after Elon Musk set employment ultimatum. Twitter Incorporated suffered a new wave of departures Thursday to its already depleted workforce after their many employees rejected Elon Musk's demand that they commit to working long hours at high intensity in order to stay. Many staffers spent the past day weighing their options after waking up Wednesday to an overnight email in which Mr. Musk told them to fill out a form by Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, to indicate if they want to remain at the company and are willing to be extremely hardcore. Employees who don't opt in will be given 3 months of severance, Mr. Musk said. Employees began posting farewells Thursday as they opted not to sign up. Some former Twitter employees said they suspected that hundreds of staff had opted to leave the company, though the exact total wasn't yet clear. Twitter hasn't disclosed the scale of the departure. The ultimatum represents the latest challenge to a staff that has cut roughly in half in mass layoffs early this month. After the Thursday deadline passed and the resignations became apparent, Twitter mailed employees saying that the company was temporarily closing the office buildings be effective immediately. The office will reopen on Monday, the email said. As the decline approached Thursday, some employees posted farewells to the company's internal Slack messaging platform, according to screenshots viewed by the Wall Street Journal. Some posted the saluting face emoji, which many employers had adopted as a symbol of the end of Twitter's pre-Musk era following the mass layoffs early this month. Well, Musk, I guess, laid up pretty harsh stipulations, and they left about half the staff. They made the choice to quit. They're free people. They're allowed to do that, aren't they? But they can quit if they want to, can't they?
Absolutely. I mean, he gave them a choice. He gave them a 3-month severance pay. And then again, he might have come in there and really not knowing how everything works. And sometimes you can, maybe he did it a little bit too quickly. But I mean, I don't think he really did anything that was, what he's getting blamed for. It's like, my gosh, he bought this company. He's putting it into shape. There was a lot of waste. I mean, I heard some of the things that they had. I mean, they had masseuses. They had media yoga rooms. They had meditation rooms. They've had, things that you, it's like,
free
are
food.
You kidding
free
me?
Food.
Plus,
free,
you had free
yeah.
food. But, yeah. I mean, that was just, it was just unbelievable. And, I think what he should do is I think he should make Trump his partner.
You think so? Why do you think that?
Well, Trump was kicked off Twitter.
He was, that's true.
So now, Trump probably, Trump always gets even. So what better way to get even with Twitter? And he could tweet all he wants. And if he owned the company. So actually, Musk should sell it to Trump. I mean, Trump's social media failed. That didn't work. His conservative platform didn't work. So now he could get Twitter. So I think Trump should buy Twitter from Musk.
Isn't Trump back on Twitter? I think I believe it already. Maybe it wasn't. I just thought I read it somewhere he's back on. No.
Elon Musk said that he could go back, but I don't think that has actually been completed as yet.
Well, I think Musk was very fair as far as giving
him,
we'll give you 3 months pay if you won't quit.
I actually heard someone say on one of the news programs that if you have employees and they don't work longer than you, if you're there before them and work after they leave, you've got the wrong employees.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I hadn't thought about it that way, but I guess that's a good point.
It is a good point.
Good point.
Because that's how we were raised. You know, my bosses always were there after I was there, and they always left before I did. It's the way it's supposed to be.
These are things, you know, that have changed in our lifetime, though. They were bosses. We knew that. We didn't argue with them.
Oh, absolutely not. We didn't make demands.
No, we didn't. No, they expected to be at work at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever. We were there. And then we knew from when they're a couple of days in a row at right on time, they might send us home. So I think that's one reason why I stayed in sales for so many years. I never saw a boss because I was a bone boss. And if I didn't go out, mm-hmm. I didn't make a penny. So I kind of like that. I really did. Mm-hmm. Of course, you have to be self-motivated to do that. But I like being bone boss.
Mm-hmm.
Except for my wife, Marcia. Other than that, I just run my boss.
Yeah, anyway. I was going to say, you're never a boss there.
Now, this different topic, switching gears. Sweden finds foreign objects and explosive residue on Nord Stream pipelines. Well, that's no doubt about that. Swedish investigators announced Friday the conclusion of their formal investigation into the Nord Stream pipeline blast on September 26th. To nobody's surprise, investigations has concluded the natural gas leaks, which rocked European energy markets and resulted in tit-for-tat accusation between Moscow and the West was a result of gross sabotage. While not naming a culprit, the Swedish final report on this initial stage of the inquiry uncovered evidence of foreign objects placed on the pipelines. During analysis carried out, residues of explosives have been identified on several of the foreign objects seized. The Swedish prosecution authority statement said, in the crime scene investigations carried out on the site in the Baltic Sea, the area and the extensive damage to the gas lines as a result of the detonations have been extensively documented. Russia has denied responsibility while at the same time pointing the finger at Washington or its allies. Swedish investigators say they will now work toward establishing, who was behind the sabotage. Ooh, wait and see, folks. That could be interesting, really. The advanced analysis work is still in progress. The aim is to draw more definitive conclusions about the Nord Stream instance, the agency said. The investigation is extensive and complex and will eventually show whether anyone can be suspected of and later prosecuted for this. Well, that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It could be interesting. So.
Yeah, it could.
We'll see. You don't seem too intrigued about that.
Well, we don't ever get the truth, so.
If they're getting an answer. How many things have we heard come out and we're getting an answer within a few months and then it just drops off screen, you never see it anymore?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to let you know on those accounts being reinstated that were banned by the Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
Musk started with Jordan Peterson and the Babylon Bee.
Okay.
So he is beginning to reinstate various accounts. So the first affected accounts belong to author Jordan Peterson, comedian Kathy Griffin, and conservative parody outlet The Babylon Bee. Two of the three accounts were banned because of tweets misgendering trans people. So there you go.
Okay, all right.
So now you know who the important ones are.
Now we know. And I'll finish up here, but I'll just make very quickly a comment here. Will Russia attack Germany for aiding Ukraine with weapons, maintenance, and training? Sergei Lavrov warned that the world that anybody transporting weapons to Ukraine will be viewed as a legitimate military target. Well, Germany's taking in weapons in battle and then redoing them, bringing them back out to Ukraine. So this could lead to something. I don't know. They're actually supporting, physically taking weapons to Ukraine. Now for a good story. Chick-fil-A makes a special Sunday delivery for boy with brain tumor. Chick-fil-A might be usually be closed on Sundays, but that doesn't mean they're not willing to help out a child in need. Danny Agee, a young boy from Temple, Texas, was scheduled for a brain tumor surgery on the Monday after Easter. The night before the operation, Danny's mentioned that he was hungry. When the doctor said he could eat whatever he wanted, he requested one of his favorites, Chick-fil-A. Unfortunately, the restaurant chain is closed on Sunday, so Danny's parents informed him that he'd have to make another choice. His nurse, Jenny Pierce, however, wasn't going to let that stop them. She was able to get in touch with someone at the restaurant, and they made the impossible possible at Chick-fil-A delivery on a Sunday. One of the store managers made a personal delivery to the hospital, bringing not only nuggets, but also Doodle, the Eat More Chicken Cow mascot. Danny's amazed father, Joey, shared footage of the visit to the Facebook, saying, "My son, Danny, had got nuggets delivered not only on Sunday, but on Easter Sunday by a manager and the Eat More Chicken cow." His reaction was priceless. Hugs for everyone. Speaking to Fox News, AG said Danny's surgery went amazing, even though they didn't remove the tumor, and he should be going home very soon. Danny's amazed father, Joey, shared footage of just going down through, I just won't read the rest of it. But I thought it was a very sweet story that a manager of Chick-fil-A opened the store up on Easter Sunday to bring his boy some nuggets.
I like Chick-fil-A.
That's a good
story. Yes, they're good people. They're good people.
That's a sweet story.
Yes, it is.
I thought I'd share that in closing, folks. And I hope you all have a safe and warm weekend wherever you are, because it's going to be cold all across the East Coast, up and down.
Yeah, I think we're heading into, there's a lot of people who say the almanac say we're supposed to, various parts, particularly here, is supposed to be a little bit warmer than usual, but I don't think that's true. I have a feeling it's going to be a tough winter. That's just what I get. Although sometimes, Butch, when you have a really cold start that's early, the rest of the season is fairly mild.
Yeah, it can
so
be mild,
who
yes.
knows? There's only God knows.
Well, I just think this. I live in a warm home. I live in a warm home. I got a good place to sleep. I thank God for that.
I don't worry about it. As long as I'm here tomorrow, I'm happy. And we'll be back on Monday. So until then, have a great weekend. Be safe. Good night. And God bless.
I work all night. I work all day and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.